mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 462. I'm Adam, and why don't you push off and guard some trains? And here's Kobe Bartlett Sloan.
Take me to your leader.
Ian Bissett.
Oh, I do hate it when people get lucky. It really offends my sensibilities.
And Mary Lang.
Five rounds rapid should do the trick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was my other quote. I should have started with that. If I'd started with five rounds rapid should do the trick, would anyone else have come off with a why don't you push off and guard some trains quote?
No, I would have used a line from the Queen, Katrike.
Okay. Well,
my secondary one was the one I used last time we discussed this one. Its function is to convert ultraviolet rays to black light.
Well, I'm rather delighted that my quote.
I had a backup too, if anyone cares.
Mike, yeah. Did you go on then? Dad, what was your backup quote?
It's my favourite one because I'll be complaining about it later. It's my head hurts abominably, Sarah.
Oh
Jane.
Yes,
everyone always says it's him doing Tom Baker. It's not. He's doing John Pertwee.
I hope I didn't alarm too many of the TikTok viewers as I stood up to turn up the speaker, who then got a view of my midriff. I know Lillian hasn't quite recovered from the view of my builder's bottom the other week. I'm not a builder, by the way.
I've seen her legs.
Just got to point out, I am not a builder in any way, shape, or form. Right then. So we're going to be talking this week.
We call it a plumber's bottom.
Do you? Obviously, yeah. You had a few plumbers around your house, Mary, I guess. Okay, right. So this week, I'm just going to scratch my back with my magic wand. Oh, it's getting a bit sticky.
Hello, Laurie.
Chatting about the first story in the Trial of Time Lord story arc. That's why we're going to call it. It's called Mysterious Planet, or The Mysterious Planet. It wasn't at the time, but it is now. Written by Robert Holmes.
It's called on the title sequence.
What?
This is called Trial of the Time Lord, part one, part two, part three, part four.
Well done, Kirby. Brilliant.
Does anybody have any information on why these different stories got their titles later?
Another very good question. I haven't. Anybody else got any? Or is it just, did the titles come afterwards?
For novelizations.
Ah, of course.
Well, what I thought was these were the actual titles on the scripts. Because they are obviously four different scripts that just have the overarching the season arc put on top of them. So
the
working title, yeah.
But nobody knows for sure. Okay. We'll have to look into that and find out.
Answering a TikTok question, I'm from the Isle of Wight, of course, the center of the universe and the center of Great Britain. Just point that one out. Right then, so we get started with the Trial of Time Lord? Not quite, because we've got stuff coming through on the Facebook feed. Laurie Nick says, hello, gorgeous. I presume she's talking to Mary. Terry Marr said, good evening, everybody. Lillian Robbins said, plumber's crack, same to you, Lillian. Laurie Nick says, you're all gorgeous, I don't discriminate, though. And then Laurie Nick said, I'm boiling water of tea, Kirby, hold off for a few minutes, okay. So let's get started with the Trial of a Time Lord. I did find the DVD for this one, which is quite useful because I haven't actually played the DVD. And for some reason...
I can't wait for the Blu-ray release. I can't wait for the...
Somebody's got that. Somebody was talking about the Blu-ray release on the Book of Face.
I said, I've got the Blu-ray release. I love it.
Is it better quality? Like, is it sort of... Have they upgraded it?
Oh, yeah. It's actually... They've re-edited... I haven't watched it all yet, but they've re-edited the whole thing together.
All right. What, in HD?
It's kind of like... I watched the first episode, and they changed the Doctor and Perry arriving because there was a whole sequence filmed with them materializing in the field and stuff, and it's different.
Those as deleted scenes on the DVD.
Right, okay. But now I think it's the very last Blu-ray. They've re-edited the entire story, and so. I don't know what this is like. One of those things is like, now I've got to go and watch the whole thing all over again, and then I've got to watch the re-edited bit to see if it makes a scrap of difference.
Right. Okay. So the episode starts with a special computer graphic The first in Doctor Who.
Old one.
What?
Mm. Old one.
All right, it's a model shot. But it's very cleverly done.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They must have spent a lot. They spent more money on that than the whole series budget.
Well, and it shows. It's the most professional looking thing in this entire story.
Ooh, yeah. Mary.
Actually, you're half right. It's a computer controlled model shot.
Thank you. So there's a computer in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's motion control. It's just like Star Wars did in 1977.
With a smoother locked off camera that was control. Ooh, hit the microphone.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. Anyway. We're being pedantic, are we not, Kirby?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, so
that's our job.
Continue, old one.
Yeah, thank you. What do you mean, old one? So, yeah, the TARDIS arrives and the Doctor staggers out, looking slightly dazed, and wanders into a courtroom.
This isn't staggering stories.
Wanders into a courtroom where, for some reason, the lights are off just for dramatic effect, and Linda Bellingham walks in wearing a very elaborate costume. And we meet the farmyard. who's obviously going to be delivering... the charges against the Doctor.
I think Laurie's drunk now, because according to her, there was a drinking game, and I think we just knocked them all up in one. So.
Who's drunk?
Laurie.
She was proposing a drinking game every time the Doctor insulted the Valeyard.
We just listed all the insults, so she's good for the rest of the episode.
I will say, though, the Time Lord Guard uniforms, some of them look a little bit like they need a wash. Thought I'd point out. They were a bit...
just took them out from the five Doctors and went, ooh.
Yeah, they look terrible. Anyway, so the Doctor is on trial for interfering, repeat from 1969 War Games, but he's on trial again. He says he shouldn't be allowed to be tried because he's the Lord President of Gallifrey. But he didn't say, am known as the Lord President of Gallifrey, because he likes to say, I am known as the Doctor, does he not?
Old one.
What now?
Yes, he does say, I am known as a doctor at least twice in this story.
At least twice.
on Earth.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they use the Matrix to replay the Doctor's exploits on the Ravelox. Is it Ravelox?
Ravelox.
Yeah.
The Stellian Galaxy.
Yeah, but it made it as a clue in itself, wasn't it? I love the fact that they didn't actually use a picture of Earth. Otherwise, they sort of did a painting of a planet. It was a sort of a blue planet with some wispy clouds, but they didn't want to use a picture of Earth just in case people would twig.
We recognized it.
Yeah. We find out pretty darn quickly that it's Earth.
Yeah, so that's why it's a bit silly, really, isn't it? Anyway, my DVD thing is just locked. In fact, the whole computer locked for a few moments. Right, we're up and running again. We're not.
I just, there's tinges of that really horrible New Who story, Yoo-hoo. Where all the plants grew very quickly, and we see Nelson's Column, etc. I even forgot the name of that story. It was so horrible.
Mrs. Nelson used to see that every night, you know. Anyway, so we're on this planet in a forest, and the Doctor and Perry are looking quite affectionate. Oh, for God's sake.
This is Queen Elizabeth's Park again, which we saw in the last story. It was snowing in the last story, but here it is several months later. They're filming in the exact same park.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Well worth waiting for. To Laura Nick says, I'm always a bit tipsy. Reminds me of Andy Nunny. Do you remember him?
Who?
Never mind. All right then. So Doctor and Perry are slightly more affectionate than they had been up to this point.
I love this intro of the two of them together again.
Yeah.
So much better. Costuming so much better.
I've got a funny feeling. You can see it's a bit damp, the atmosphere around the forest, that Perry's hair was supposed to be straight and it's just curled in the damp.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Of course, I see that Perry is in full 80s fashion here now. The big hair, the big shoulders.
Yes, well, we're in the mid-flow 80s, aren't we?
So much better than the stuff that they had her in, though.
Well,
it just looks so much more comfortable for an actress.
Mm-hmm. She also looks more mature.
I don't know. I kind of
like
the
Hi to Susie Q
art.
On TikTok, and thank you for joining and for following. Yes. Right then. So, sorry to interrupt you. I'm doing major multitasking at the moment. My computer's telling me that the video feed stopped. But I don't think it has, actually. I think it's just... I don't think it has. I'm sure somebody would tell me if it had stopped running.
Old one?
What?
Are the live TikToks saved someplace?
No. No, they just go live and then they stop once you stop them.
Well, that's strange. Okay.
Well, don't have to because it's the Facebook ones are.
Yeah, so. But you'd think that they would do that. Well, who knows? We probably won't have TikTok in a few more decades here anyway.
Not. No, the TikTok's videos are a maximum of 60 seconds anyway, so there's no need to keep the videos live on there. Live video is essentially for the followers of the artists that post stuff on TikTok. Right. So while the Doctor and Perry are wandering through the forest, we meet Dibber and Glitz.
Hey.
Who have sort of shavings into their sideburns that are sort of like what the next decade, the 90s, kids were putting into their eyebrows,
yeah.
I noticed. So Doctor Who did it first, essentially. Yes, I quite like this two sort of comedy duo of tough nuts. I was just disappointed. I nearly got another word in.
No, they're willing to sacrifice thousands of people. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, but I like they're really common. They don't really kill anyone, do they? They're just sort of
they play off each other well, but they're just always ready to kill off.
They're tougher than they think they are. They're sort of acting tough, but they're not actually tough. You know, they sort of imply they've done this, that, and the other, but actually can't follow it through. What?
this story's got three sets of wonderful Robert Holmes double acts.
Yes,
it's got the twins, then these two, and a little less with
he's stumbled right then. While he's doing that, Terry Miles said it's still running. Lillian Robbins said Gibber and Ditz lol, and then Laurie Nick said Dibber. Is that his name? Kind of hot. Susie Q says hi from Australia. Hi, Susie Q. That's on the TikTok. Right then. Sorry, Kirby. Did you catch up with yourself? Did your buffering stop?
Doug and the other guy. The guy with the snood.
All right,
snood
yes.
Snood dude.
Snoods apparently were invented on the Isle of Wight. Or at least they were made there at some point. Just like to say that. Sorry, Ian, were you going to say something?
Snood dude, I think is my contribution for the evening.
Well done.
Yes. No, your contribution was coming up that we're gonna call Master Old One.
Shut up. Right then.
That's my idea.
I don't remember that at all.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that I was a bit disappointed that when they brought Glitz back, no spoilers. Excuse me. I'm not gonna say when. When they do bring him back, there's no Dibber.
No,
I think they work together better as a sort of duo. But Glitz tries to shoot the Doctor, very, very, like a child, disappointed that he got lucky.
I do hate it when people get lucky.
Yes.
It really annoys my sensibilities.
Yeah. Just to use my TikTok jokes, chickens hate it when people get clucky because they think it's a bit of, a bit sort of chickenist.
And that's your poultry.
That's my poultry chicken joke of the evening, yes. Susie Q says sorry you seem busy. I'm glad somebody notices, Susie. That's on TikTok. Right then, so I'm very busy. We're podcasting at the moment. Should go on a Facebook 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast where you'll see the same thing from a different angle and in widescreen.
Right then.
So the Doctor and Perry find a cave, which isn't in fact a cave. It is in fact what's left of an underground station. And I think last time we reviewed this story, I did mention I was well impressed with the set they used for the underground. Mm. Sorry, the remains of the underground station. I thought, and then Kirby came up with an explanation. Yes,
the escalator. I thought that was very, very nicely done.
Yeah, it was a nice touch.
It's not a very long escalator, so I have been in the London Underground.
It was enough to give it that, you know, like thought it was as good as anything we saw in Planet of the Apes when, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I was just, the BBC by that point.
Having been in the London Underground, I did notice that the escalators there are horrendously long. Oh, but yeah. it gave the, you know, the effort they put into it to create that that sort of scene was fantastic. And of course, the Doctor and Perry have a bit one of their little tiffs because Perry gets all sulky because the planet is destroyed and the Doctor doesn't seem very sympathetic about it. But he does explain that, don't worry, your Earth is safe because this is massively into the future. But Perry can't get her head around it despite having been in the TARDIS for a very long time. Blah, blah, blah. Was somebody going to say something?
No.
Oh, God, this is lovely.
You'll know when we want to say something.
Terry Miles says...
It's typical. We let him go, and he complains that we haven't
been interrupted. Yeah, I know. It's just very unusual and very disconcerting.
Yeah, we'll all jump in together. We'll all talk on top of each other. You'll know. Yeah.
Well, sometimes when that happens, I feel that maybe the internet connection's gone and I've lost you. So, don't often
well, that's
get to
a possibility,
speak.
Too.
Now no, you've given true. Us an idea for a prank.
Shut up. We've already done that one, Ian. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Coming at the, season 46?
Anyway, where did I get up to? I lost where I was now. Terry Miles. Glenn Murphy was in London's Burning and was a boxer when he was not axing. I was going to mention that, but I thought I'd give someone else, like indeed Terry, the chance to pick up on it.
I'm generous.
Yeah. Crying on my sliders, stop moving. I've got the little... Oh, it's back again now. Right, and so moving on. They discover this tube station was, in fact, Marble Arch, which causes Perry to moan and sulk even more. And then there's a flashback to the courtroom where the Valiard makes some pointless point, which doesn't make any sense.
Old one. What? Yeah, I was watching this the other night with Fred... Yeah. And she was just laughing every time all those Time Lords turned back and forth and back and forth.
Yes. But the Doctor, I know you do notice that this version of the Sixth Doctor is even better than the version we've seen previously. Obviously, it's a bit funny, a bit more sort of comedic to a certain extent. But his, what's the word for it? When he feels sorry for Perry, you know, he's trying to explain to her that, you know, it isn't really her Earth. And he puts his hand on his chest to show that he really does care. The right. Earlier Sixth Doctor would never have done that. He would just told her shut up. Pardon? Oh, are you pretending you're not there again?
Shut up.
No, he told her to shut up. You donut.
Good reflexes there, Kirby. Good reflex.
Yeah, really.
You know
it's not the first time you've actually done it, though, Kirby. And it wasn't even directed at you.
Colin Baker does fantastic in this story.
He does.
The only thing that lets down these stories that we're about to review is the courtroom linking stuff. It kind of throws things
as
his performance, because he has to do all these to camera interruptions and
yes,
yeah. So. Oh yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
But anyway,
old one.
Yeah.
When we last discussed this one, we were wondering who wrote the linking segments. Those are Eric Saward, not Robert Holmes.
Thank you for that. So the Doctor decides to go down into the underworld area and leave Perry behind because she's sulking, and tells her to stay there, which all Doctors do to their companions, and all companions take no notice. But she does get grabbed by a couple of burly men and along with Dibber and Glitz, marched off to this sort of camp of settlers or primitives, or what you want to call them, who obviously they have this totem pole, which apparently is a beacon or a light, what was it, a black light converter, and various other alleged...
It converts ultraviolet light into black light, or black light into ultraviolet light, which is, they're the same thing.
Yes, I know. I do love Katrika's wig. I think it really does sort of give the... It's almost giving her like a Boudicca sort of look, isn't it? And I think Joan Sims obviously is, by this stage, a British legend from the Carry On films and stuff like that. Completely different part.
I still haven't seen any Carry On films.
She has played battle axes in Carry On films, but she is... even though she's sort of hamming it up a little bit... She does play Katrika really, really well. Anyway, the Doctor gets down into the underworld.
Hold on.
Oh, for God's sake.
You are so darn close to visiting this encampment, but you never go over there and visit these places. Although they tore this one down and moved it 2 years after this was filmed.
Oh.
It's now two miles away because unfortunately they found that there was real archaeology underneath where they built this.
Like, whoops. Will you put this over here then? So we can dig up the good stuff.
Anyway, the Doctor finds a sort of bottle of water, pulls it off, and the whole security team from Monsters, Inc. descend on him. and then Duggan is decided to wear a different outfit and looks a bit ill, to be fair. He's a bit pale. Suddenly appears.
Why doesn't Duggan. The Doctor recognize Duggan?
I
like
know.
Him in this, actually. I like
recognize Duggan straight away. Now, the other thing, I'm just talking about TikTok. For some reason, I haven't touched my phone at all during this thing. One of the viewers on TikTok, General Almed, it says the host blocked General Almed. I haven't even touched it. It says I blocked him. I haven't blocked you. If you're watching, I have not blocked you. And also, what I noticed when we see Duggan. Sorry, I've forgotten his character's name in this story. But
Murdy.
Duggan. What?
Merdine or Margaret? Merdine.
Something like
Merdine,
that.
Merdine. But Duggan works.
But Ian, they're watching. I'm sorry, the immortal is watching on a massive Etch-A-Sketch. That's the biggest Etch-A-Sketch I've ever seen. And I wonder if one of the BBC were the only people to actually get that Etch-A-Sketch. And an Etch-A-Sketch, dare I say, that actually you can watch stuff on. That would be a really good invention, wouldn't it? You could actually do the Etch-A-Sketching and watch something in the background. What an invention they didn't bother coming up with, eh?
Well, that's the other guy. Balazar. Sorry.
Balazar. Yes, that's right. Anyway, I do love the
you
weird...
You mean Snood guy?
Yeah.
Yes. No, Snood guy's the other chap, the one that goes
Snood
off...
dude.
Meets his mate
Snood.
Broken Tooth. No, the other guy, the one that's dressed like the Valyard a little bit, you know, that was Duggan. Yeah. We'll find out eventually. Somebody pedantic on the Facebook feed will come up with the answer. But anyway, so Duggan and there's another chap who's very suspicious, isn't he? Who's he's sort of both of them a bit suspicious of each other. Glitz tries to tell Katrika that he's got to destroy this malfunctioning beacon. But fails because he pulls his gun out. And of course, what happens? The gun gets confiscated. And joins the arsenal of the tribe, and then the Snood guy, as you call him, has managed
Snood
the doctor.
Dude. Snood dude.
The Doctor gets knocked out during this. He does get knocked out a couple of times in this story, and he's going to get sort of grilled by Snood guy in the background. Everybody,
Snood dude.
Yeah, whatever. Snood dude, whatever. In the background are the triangular-shaped scenery, which I've been asking everybody to keep a lookout for. Did anybody notice it? It was in this episode several times. They've painted it silver. Ian.
No, I never noticed.
Did you not? Okay. Lauren X says, my biggest problem with this one, or perhaps the biggest mystery on that planet, is that all the black light... and not velvet painting to be seen.
Very true.
Lillian Robbins says, Elvis on velvet.
Here's a couple of fascinating facts for you before you continue on as you
yes.
had a sharp and take a breath. That Snood Dude went on to, he was in the Tomorrow People, plus voiced James Bond in numerous video games. I've seen the type. And the helmets that the train guards are wearing were actually reused from Earthshock.
Well, thank you for that. Oh, I thought I'd recognize them from somewhere. They're quite cool, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
On
they
TikTok,
just repainted them. They were black.
With paint dribbled all over them.
Yes, indeed. On TikTok, Isaac Timperley said, are you the guy who swore on live TV? No.
what?
Oh, no, actually, no. He might be talking to one of the other people watching on TikTok. I wouldn't swear. I don't even swear on live podcasts. Right, so the Doctor is being grilled and he's sort of wrapped around
with... What if I were to say bloody? You'd probably
be
complain
quiet.
About me.
He's wrapped around with some plastic chains. And then he talks about these books, doesn't he, which is quite amusing, the three books they have in their library, which I'm not going to talk about in great detail, but I thought I quite enjoyed that. It's typical Robert Holmes dialogue, has to be said. And this is the last of completed Robert Holmes story for Doctor Who, which is very sad.
Aww. I miss him.
Indeed. Right, moving forward. That's right. So the Doctor's sentence, unlike me, I find it very difficult completing sentences because I keep on getting interrupted. Tism Unknown 4 says, hi. Hello. His sentence is to be stoned by polystyrene stones.
Woo! Well, I want to go out.
Is this the life of Brian?
Yeah, but the Valiard obviously says, oh, well, this was going to be an inquiry, but now it's going to be a trial, and if found guilty, you're going to be killed and then regenerate into Sylvester McCoy a little bit earlier than planned, maybe. I don't know.
Regenerating to the Valiard. Oh, spoilers.
Ooh. But yeah, the Doctor again is knocked out because he uses the umbrella to try and fend off some of these polystyrene rocks. Obviously, one of the polystyrene rocks wasn't actually polystyrene. It actually got through the guard and knocked him out. Meanwhile, Perry joins Katrika and is offered, as per usual, typical Perry style, as a means to propagate the society. Because obviously that's all Perry's good for, isn't it? It's just sort of to be leered at and to be used for reproduction. There you go.
Well, at least she got to choose her man. I mean, at least Katrika was giving her, like, well, you're going to have to do this, but at least you get a choice.
But didn't she get a choice of several men, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't all at once, I don't think.
They'll be clamoring over each other,
one
wouldn't
at
they?
A time. Mm.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to have a lot of husbands.
Would it not? Anyway, the Doctor eventually sort of comes around and sort of sarcastically in some ways sort of introduces himself via the Etch-a-Sketch to the Immortal. I do love the Drathro's robot costume. I think it's absolutely fab.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic.
Yes. It doesn't actually look proper metal, but it really is probably exactly the same way they would do it now, to be fair. But it's
one of those things where I like it because it makes you wonder how they did that.
Yeah.
Is really that a guy in there, or is that remote control?
Yeah.
You know.
But I will say,
well, there's the extra that shows it's a Blue Peter where they open it up and they open up the other robot as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And inside the robot, which is on the treads, right, is the father of the Blue Peter presenter, and she's the one who was in Nyman. She was in
Nyman. Talking about Mike Ellis.
Yes.
Isaac Timperley says hi. Layton C0 says hi. Hi, TikTokers. Right. So Perry is banged in a cell with Dibber and Glitz. So there's her two men to start off with straight away. So done rather well. Hang on, my slider's deciding not to slide. There we go. We're up and running again now. Just moving forward a beat. And the Doctor is sent in to see Drathro, and there's a very amusing sort of scene in which his two sidekicks, the blonde guys, very camp blonde guys, as we point out, think the Doctor is some sort of android and can't get their head around. Pardon?
I said I hate their costumes. They look very thrown together.
They remind me of Minions, actually, to be fair.
One of them has since passed away, and the other one is still acting, most recently in Humans.
Oh, well, sort of.
Oh, really?
Just one episode, but hey, still kicking around.
Robert Vence Jr. Hi, Robert says. Hi, everyone. Welcome, Mary and Ian. And then Lillian Robbins said, How many TikTok views do you have versus Facebook? Well, first, Facebook doesn't actually tell you how many views you've got. Oh, it does actually, doesn't it? But I can't actually see the bit that says that. And TikTok, I've got 2. Unless it's lying, of course, and I might have 200. Rather.
Dream on.
Well, I've got 1,200 followers, so you never know. It could
is
happen.
Is the tea done yet?
My what?
Is the tea ready?
I was asked a question, Ian. Anyway, so the Doctor... the Doctor... the two blonde guys are sort of enthralled by the fact that he's organic. But are they not, organics themselves?
They're the only organics I think that they've ever seen, because I think they were taken in there as a young age,
I'm pretty sure Drathro says that they're human, these two guys.
Mm. Yes, they came from the rest of the population. There's a reference to
that. Oh, of course. What else we got here? Lillian Robbins says, Facebook says you have 8 viewers. And then Lillian Robbins said, oops, 7. Right, well, we get more listeners to the actual podcast itself than we do live viewers.
9.
Only the real committed, or people that need committing, bother to watch us live, or me live, to be precise, and listen to the other guys. Right then. So, moving forward. Sorry, Drathro. Hang on. Moving forward. I know the guy playing Drathro has got the surname Brierly. I just wondered if he's any relation to... the chap who used to do the voice of K-9 badly. No? Okay.
Probably.
Then there's some...
I will check.
Oh, no.
I'm checking.
Are you?
You're checking. I was checking.
You're checking.
He played the hotel manager in Mr. Bean in room 426.
Thank you for that. Robert Ernst Jr. said, listening through my car radio. Now, that is commitment. And the requirement to be committed as well, if you know what I mean. But thank you, Robert. Right, so there we go. Moving forward, this is the Doctor. Oh, yeah, so the Doctor manages to... he pretends he's going to help them with some sort of technical thing, because there's a problem with their black light thing, which is basically feeding power to Drathro. So he promises he's going to help them. Meanwhile, Dibber and Glitz attempt an escape. And the Doctor escapes as well. And
I love the way that the Doctor tricks everyone into electrocuting themselves.
Yes, that was really good. And there's a scene in which suspicious guy listens to Snood Dude and what's his name again? He was in Duggan. City of Death. Duggan, yeah, who do some plotting, because obviously the people underground don't believe or think that the fires are still raging on the surface. I did forget to mention this, but I think they're all a bit daft, because clearly that's not the case. And they're basically saying there are people on the surface. So Snood Dude heads with the Doctor to the surface, while Duggan, Perry and... Glitz run for their lives away from the what they call it in Shrek, it was angry mob, that's it, from the angry mob, and they bump into eventually to the Doctor and Snood Dude. The Doctor said that girl never takes an order, does she? Doesn't follow orders or whatever. And then they go down into the underground, and then the Doctor says those immortal words, I think this really is the end of the episode. So Lillian Robbins says, this is my Sunday afternoon entertainment. Clearly the radio and television services where Lillian ribs are rather inadequate, shall we say. So episode 3 begins with the recovery.
This is weird. My DVD, I told it to play all. So it played the first episode, and it just showed the 25 minutes, and that ran through, and then I let it continue. Mm. And now it's got the other 3 episodes all strung together.
Mm-hmm. Tea time, everybody.
Yes, David Brierly.
Yeah.
Brierly,
yeah.
Did the voice of K-9.
He did, yes.
And Roger Brierly.
Yes.
Didn't.
Oh. No, he didn't do the voice of K-9. I just wonder if he's related.
And Trevor in the Daleks Master Plan. So, okay. Brierly's, but different.
But not related.
Apparently not.
Okay. Anyway, so so they're just about to die. I did notice that this sort of offshoot robot with the sort of ropes on the front reminded me a little bit of the robot that the Fourth Doctor encountered in... what's that story? The Sontaran experiment? Just reminded me of that a little bit. Anyway, so he doesn't get done in because Broken Tooth shoots the robot, and allows them to escape. I'm glossing over the courtroom scenes because they're sort of just interruptions, really, from the actual story itself.
How does one come across that name? Is it he fights with a broken tooth? He has a broken tooth?
No, his name's Broken
Tooth.
He
needs to see it. I know, but, yeah, but how did he come across that? How did he get that name?
It's like, you'd have to ask his dentist.
Old one?
They dropped him when he was born, and he's got a broken tooth. That'll do.
When he was born.
Old one? Why?
Old one?
If he came from the underground population, and
they
recognized
him
by
like
Snoop
my
Dude.
My name was Jack.
Yeah, Snoop Dude.
Jack will never do. I don't want a new name. Wallop. Call you Broken Tooth.
But Snoop Dude calls him Broken Tooth.
Yes.
Okay. So he had, when he lived underground, he was called Broken Tooth?
Well, maybe he had his tooth fixed. Anyway, Ian Kirk says, Mysterious Planet has the same plot as Logan's Run. Ian Bissett, for some reason, said Roger Brierley versus David Brierley. Oh, slightly differently spelt, obviously. And Terry Miles posted a emoji of a cup of tea.
I wonder why.
So the Doctor has now come to
Old
visit...
One. Old one?
Jesus Christ. Yes.
Does that make you Peter Ustinov?
Yeah. So the Doctor's come to visit Katrika.
From Logan's Run, old one.
Whatever. He's come to visit Katrika and tells her that obviously this totem, the great totem, is in fact a black light converter. Of course, she doesn't believe a word of it because she's been told so many porky pies over the years. So she sort of just locks them all in an inadequate cell. And then the robot comes in and knocks the Doctor out and carries him away, followed by the prisoners. After a
old one?
Boring scene in the trial, yes.
When that wall in that cell gets knocked down, you almost expect the Kool-Aid guy to be coming through.
Well, maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
So anyway, the Doctor appears to have been killed. No regeneration, obviously.
Nope.
And there's an argument again between Suspicious Bloke and Duggan. And what's her name? Katrika takes a little team of rebels and tribe into the to go and see the underpeople, I suppose you call them, or
underlings.
What the habit people? Because habitat. Sorry,
UK habitat of the Canadian goose.
The UK habitat of the Canadian goose people. The Doctor recovers after doing an impression of John Pertwee.
Yes, thank you. It's even on. I think the DVD. I haven't looked at the infotext for the Blu-ray, but even on the DVD, it says that it's. They're not quite sure. I'm like, what?
My head hurts abominably, Sarah Jane. That's definitely...
Why don't you just ask Colin to say, hey, Colin, what voice were you doing?
Well, I'd be very disappointed because it sounded like John Pertwee, didn't it? And he said Sarah Jane. Certainly...
I don't think Tom Baker would have said more of a Sarah Jane.
That's a total Pertwee.
Absolutely.
He even put in the lisp. I don't believe the Fourth Doctor had a lisp.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the freaking handbook. Sorry, it's in the handbook. Incorrectly.
Oh, dear. Anyway, moving
rant
on.
Rant over, sorry. tea down, off we go.
Tea down. Oh, my God, I've got a spinning disc of doom. Right there, moving forward.
So does the robot kind of shift the Doctor around from being vertical to being horizontal?
What?
Well, I mean, it's very rough terrain. I mean, I don't expect its grip to be perfect. It probably just, the load shifted while it was
Kirby.
Moving. It's like, oh, we'll just
Kirby.
Slid down.
Kirby. It's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Is it? I thought it was a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Anyway.
With too many M's.
The next scene.
I thought you were pedantic.
The next scene features the best cliffhanger of the story, in which Duggan says, he goes, what are you hunting? You, and then of course fires his little crossbow off, and you think the Doctor's been done in. So that was a really, really good cliffhanger, that one.
It was.
Of course, he doesn't shoot the Doctor, he shoots Suspicious Bloke, who was just about to shoot the Doctor from another angle.
All of these scenes where the Doctor's in danger is that he's showing up in the trial much, much later. So we know he survives everything.
There's a few people on TikTok that said hi. I said hi back. Sorry, I'm doing a podcast. Right then. Yeah, so he's actually, when he shoots a suspicious guy, I do love the fact that he's, you know, he's quite remorseful about it. And he's quite emotional that the chap's died, and but he had to do it and stuff like that.
He plays a really good character in this. I gotta hand it to him. I guess back then I didn't realize it was Duggan. You know, but now I do. You know, now going back, it's like, oh yeah, that's great. And it's just like, hey, he was my favorite, like, you know,
favorite companion that wasn't a companion
story.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and he had very minimal parts, but he, anyway.
Anyway, so Katrika.
I do wish Duggan had become a companion.
I do too. Anyway, mm-hmm. Katrika and her team go in to see the immortal, i.e., Adrathra, and get. Well, she gets very horribly killed.
Yes.
So much so. And so does Broken Tooth, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The face is all covered in blood and. Oh, it's horrible.
His tooth eventually gets broken, I guess.
Aha. Uh-huh. But the blonde twins try to make their escape at this point, bump into the Doctor and his cronies. And then we cut to another boring trial scene. And Dibber and Glitz arrive. And they just keep on sort of blanking over these words, don't they, in the production. Which weren't, when they eventually revealed what the words were, it wasn't at all exciting, which is very, very disappointing. Moving forward a little bit further. And then the Doctor goes in to see Drathro and has an argument with him. And moving forward. Actually, I did lose the plot a little myself watching this. And all hell breaks loose with lots of sort of fake-looking lasers flying around. And Snood Dude gets covered in, looks like pea, sort of mushy peas, but lots of things.
Actually, it was mashed potato and green food coloring and stuff.
Oh. But, you know, at the time...
I suppose Nickelodeon didn't exist at this point, so they it wasn't slime.
That's what I'm saying, but they were using slime in Saturday morning kids' TV at this point. So.
Well, Nickelodeon uses applesauce, colored applesauce.
Oh. Lillian Robbins says, get used to those trial scenes. Well, pretty used to them now. Pretty used to know full well not to pay any attention to them when trying to follow individual stories. But we will talk about it when it's relevant. So the Doctor flicks a switch. Well, it doesn't quite flick. He sort of says it's been sort of switched for centuries and finds it difficult turning it. But I would have thought for centuries it would never turn. It would just be fused. Drathro... dies, basically just sort of glows to death.
Which I thought was a really cool effect.
It was.
Back then, and I mean, it still kind of looks cool now. It's like, you know, he's like glowing.
Oh, yeah,
hard.
No, it's good. Like, Drathro himself, full stop. Full stop. Yeah. Drathro was a great robot. It's a shame they killed it off because I'd love to have seen it back. And in fact, that's probably one of the only robots or sort of effects from this era that would have worked in modern Who, especially in, you know, the stuff that came for us in 2005, because match the sort of style of the Cybermen and stuff like that we had in New Who.
Drathro did make another appearance in Who, but we're not supposed to mention that, I don't think.
Okay.
The one in Albert Square.
Oh dear. oh yes, that's a good point. Anyway, so Perry's a bit upset because lots of people have got dying.
I hadn't really noticed that in that particular quote.
It's just a very brief. They do this thing.
It's a homage.
This little brief snapshots of you know the bad guys closing in when they're at Albert Square, and I think he's in one of the windows or something.
You're gonna force me to go and watch that.
We probably have to cover it anyway at some point. I'm afraid.
Now I'm completely wrong. So
it's not very long.
No reason.
Well, one thing I did do before we started in with the. With Trial of the Time Lord with Fred, is I showed her Doctor in Distress.
What, not in a pair of trousers? Did Doctor have to wear a dress?
Not this dress. That dress.
Oh, God. Anyway, so Perry's a bit upset. All these people have got done in, and which is rather ironic considering she's going to get done in. Oh, spoilers! In the next episode. And yeah, so that's basically the end of the episode.
Oh, she doesn't get done in the next one. Oh, she marries.
Does a,
what's his face?
Sort of.
She marries.
Yeah, right. Anyway, there's chicken down.
The head of the bird people.
Well, that's the same as
Terry Miles says. Tiz was. That's the slime Saturday morning TV show that involved slime and water and stuff. So that's it. That's Mysterious Planet. I seem to remember there was a very long gap between this and the previous Doctor Who story and at the time, and it was really, really nice to see Doctor Who back on the telly in its original format. This particular story is not too bad.
It was a year and several months.
Yes,
it's pretty much what we're suffering through now.
Yes, indeed. It wasn't too bad. I quite enjoyed it. I think it was being a bit paradoxical of itself in some ways, and yes, the trial scenes do sort of have an impact on the story. I think that, you know, if they could have padded this out or even made it a three-parter without the trial scenes, it would have been better. But the Trial of Time Lord parts aside, and there are a couple of quite good scenes in the court scenes and the banter between Valiard and the Doctor, which I did enjoy. It's a bit sort of infantile, isn't it? They're calling Brickyard, Knacker's Yard, and anything else with Yargon in on
that
the end
pretty
of it.
Much stops pretty quickly.
Yeah, but it was quite funny at the time. But yeah, it was okay. I didn't like the new theme tune at all. I've said this over and over again. The new version of the theme tune. It's a science fiction futuristic TV show, so we'll have just synthesizers doing the theme tune because that's what we do with the BBC these days. No, I didn't like the version of theme tune at all.
No.
I've been very scathing of it, even more so in the earlier episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. But I'm not going to mention any composers at all on this instance. But it's rubbish. Lillian Roberts says YCDTOTV was not Tiz was, and then she says you can't do that on television. Do what on television? What do I do?
That's what YCD. It's a name of a show.
Oh, I see. That was the American version of Tiz was, I presume. So yeah, it was too. It was okay. I quite enjoyed it, to be fair. Oh dear, I do sort of worry about what's coming up. But Ian, what did you think of it?
I loved it. The Doctor and Perry finally setting into a kind of a more of a, and they I have heard them say that they kind of forced it that way when they were delivering the lines. You know, they chose not to be bickering.
Yeah,
and it comes off lovely. The opening I just love watching because it's just these two friends strolling through the forest on an alien planet. And
it's just a shame that it's a bit of a swan song, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like it's a great story for the two of them before everything just goes.
Yeah.
I actually love this version of the theme because it's my Doctor's theme. Yeah. You know, everybody kind of had their, well, Davison kind of got, you know, Tom Baker's, but you know, it was quite his, and it, to me, the opening with this and Mysterious Planet, and it's got this kind of mysterious tone to it as it plays out. And an interesting little fact is I used to use it to put my now 10-year-old son to sleep when he was a baby because he would stop crying whenever that was playing. There's actually on YouTube, there is a video of my son as a baby. I was watching the Tom Baker episode, and he was sitting there crying throughout the show, and then as soon as the theme came on, he would shut up. Ridiculous. I'll have to post it in the links later.
Yeah.
But I used to play it because I had it on my phone as my ringtone, and so I had the Mysterious Planet theme, and that would put him back to sleep. It would make him quiet and down, and so I just played over and over again until he fell asleep. But yeah. I mean, this was, you know, it's a great little story. It's a good adventure. Here's, and I know everybody's like mad keen on Robert Holmes and stuff, and so we get some good Robert Holmes stuff before he kicked it. No, seriously, I mean, it's like, hey, because after this, it all goes to, south.
Oh,
but so at least we got this, which is, it's a fairly decent story.
It is.
Some things that really still excel. The opening shot is still beautiful. Some of the stuff about Drathro is great. Some of the stuff where they're doing stuff on microdots and really it looks like the secrets are all just kept on film It just, why couldn't they have gone with like a crystal or a, you know.
Yeah, well, that bit wasn't very imaginative, was it?
It just looks like a film can. Like, yes, these are the episodes that the BBC deleted. Whoops, we just did it again.
Ah, very good, yes. On TikTok, sorry to interrupt you, but I have to answer a question on TikTok. Asterixo says, I'm doing an experiment, ban me from the stream. And then he says, come on. And I'm thinking, well, how the hell do I do that while I'm trying to do a podcast? So I did have a look to see if there was a block thing. I'm not blocking any of my followers or my viewers. I wouldn't do such a thing. Sorry, Ian, carry on.
Yeah, well, he could ban himself.
Can he?
I don't know.
I'm not that technical with the talk tick.
Oh, he might be able to. I don't know. I don't know anything about TikTok. Anyway, that's the whole thing. It's all symbolism, you see, for the BBC destroying Doctor Who. It's like, yeah.
Symbolism, not even not Drumsism or with the Doctor Who tambourinism.
The archives, you get fried. But yeah, it's a fun, good Doctor Who story before kind of things go a little awry in the next episode. And it's really only the next episode that's, I think, a problem with this because.
Story, not episode.
Oh, God.
Story, yes.
Shut up.
Yes, thank you, Ian. Hallelujah. Hang on, it's got Ian. Sorry for that. Shut up, Kirby. You're going to get one of these. Fantastic.
I'm shouting that at podcasts, Doctor Who podcasts, all the time because they always say next. They always make that mistake.
Do that.
Yeah. Season series,
episode story.
Yeah.
Story arc. I kind of get it. They wanted to come back and they were like, someone who knows is it's the BBC hierarchy and go, okay, we've got her on trial now about how bad he's been and we're going to show you how he's not really been bad, but. Didn't really do a very good job of it, and so it all went to pants. And you know, you got people throwing in stuff about Doctor Who, which some of it's good, you know, because we, you know, they got the doc, they tied in, you know, the end of the Five Doctors into this. But basically, it was JNT trying to do his own Key to Time, and
doing it badly, yes.
To interesting results.
Yeah, interesting. That's a very polite way of putting it, Ian. Well done. Hang on, I'm just trying to wear a fan on my head so as I can keep cool and not interfere with the recording while we... This is going to thrill our listeners, viewers, and TikTok family alike. It's Kirby Bartlett Sloan talking about Mysterious Planet.
I really enjoy Mysterious Planet. It's not one of Robert Holmes's best, but it's not bad. I like the new rapport between Perry and the Doctor. I wish that she could have stayed on as a companion.
Yeah.
She would have been a whole lot better than the Screecher we're about to get in two stories.
Harsh.
And I have to disagree with Ian. This theme tune is absolute pants.
It is.
So, it's the worst of all of Classic Who's theme tunes.
Certainly is.
Good. So do I get a ding?
No. Mainly because I'm balancing a fan on my head. If I move, it'll fall off. Yeah, carry on.
It's this is just yes, it is Carry On. I agree. No, it's good. I enjoy this one.
Oh, is that it? Excellent. Well, thank you, Kirby. Well done. Lillian Robbins says, where do I see that YouTube video? What YouTube video?
The one that Ian was talking about.
I'd kind of forgotten that I promised it. So.
Okay. And then she says, Ian should watch my TikTok videos. Ian, watch Lillian's TikTok videos. Hashtag Lillian's legs.
Hashtag I've seen copyrighted some of the photos on Facebook.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Oh, God, I nearly forgot. My goodness, I'm trying to do this. This is proper multitasking, TikToking, Facebooking, balancing a fan on my head, and actually running a podcast. But unfortunately, while doing so, I nearly played the wrong tune. Mary has something to say, and I dread, but here it comes anyway.
Wait, Have we reviewed this before?
Yes, because we have. Yes. Oh, I don't think you liked it that time.
I don't remember this at all.
You don't.
So are you sure? Was I on that podcast?
Yes, you were. It was just Master, you, and me.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Because I had no memory of this, which I guess shouldn't surprise anyone, especially because I forget everything. So I was looking as I was going through. I was like, wow, this is new. This is different. Mary, I haven't seen this.
Mary.
What?
Mary, I've got a database showing all the episodes.
I know.
Yeah, we've established this.
That's why I knew you'd know the answer to my question. But anyway, because I didn't remember any of it, I was looking at it as if it was a brand new thing. And I did want to mention that it, from the last story that we saw to this one, it was like a year and 3 or 4 months before this new version came out. But personally, I don't see a lot of difference, except that the doctor has settled back. Colin has settled back, and he's a much better doctor. And, you know, Perry is softened up, so that's an improvement.
Mary, can I interrupt you just for a second?
Sure.
Because somebody has asked me on TikTok why I've got a fan on my head, because it's really, really hot.
Well, of all the things you are doing that you're marveling at, I think the fan on the head is the most remarkable.
I've managed to construct a special sort of, like, I've turned the legs around so I can actually hold it still. I do have to keep very still for this particular feature. Carry on.
Well, anyway, the opening shot I thought was great, and episode one was really good, really pulled me in, so I was interested in seeing what was going to come of this. But then episodes 2, 3, and 4 to me were just like the same old, just wobbly sets, you know, things that fall apart or obviously cheaply built, you know, right off the bat. And I found most of the costumes were all thrown together, especially the ones of the two blonde guys with Drethro. Mm-hmm. And I did not see the point of their existence, because whenever the two of them would get talking, it just got, you know, it was just blah, blah, blah. There wasn't really much of anything going on there. Not even anything funny, if that was the intent. The food chamber scene was, I think, ridiculous. I mean, there they were trapped in this thing with fans going on either side. And I don't know, were those like laser beams shooting at them? Because I don't know what that was, but not one of them got hit by any of them. Plus, where did that green slime come from, that when that guy looks in the tube and he gets hit, you know, with the green slime? I'm thinking, well, that was just done for comedic effect.
It was.
But for me, it just you know, it was just stupid. I didn't know.
Ian has an answer.
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, it's a science fiction TV program.
No. Science fiction fantasy TV show. Ian.
Oh, sorry. Science fiction fantasy TV program.
So I wasn't worried at all about the people in that, you know, the food production chamber.
Can I interrupt you, Mary? Because Lillian has corrected me, Canadian. So sorry, Lillian. All Canadians listening and watching the show, yes, Lillian is Canadian, and she was talking about Canadian TV. Back to Mary's review. Sorry.
Do I get to go on?
You do.
Okay. I also thought that tribe of the free were a pretty spiritless crew who basically just stood around, and if it weren't for Queen Katrika egging them on, she was always, let's do this and let's do that. And they'd all like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, then they'd go.
What do you expect? It's a bunch of men. Sorry, but
I'm thinking, if they didn't have her, they'd all have suffered, you know, early deaths, because they didn't seem to have any motivation, they didn't have any energy, they didn't have anything going for them, except to kind of plod along behind the queen. You know, so, and then the court scenes that kept interrupting the story, I think took any. What do you call it? The momentum of the activity just took the momentum out of the story. To watch the doctor and the Valyard, you know, just, you know, bicker back and forth.
Yes.
So I was getting very irritated with those court scenes. They didn't seem to be accomplishing much of anything. And like I said, they just kept interrupting the story. So overall, no. And it started off really good, and then for me, it just kind of went downhill from there. So no, I don't think very much of this story.
Well, at least it started off very good. Normally, they start off rubbish and stay rubbish. So I think that's a bit of a plus.
Yeah. But no, not in this case. I mean, it did. It started strong, but then for me, just petered out and became kind of boring.
Uh-oh.
Mostly because of all the interruptions.
Uh-oh.
Story could have been allowed to keep rolling, maybe.
I've been corrected by Lillian again. I said, no, the show was Canadian, but shown on Nickelodeon in the States. Sorry, Lillian. Get it right one day, won't I? Alan T. Butcher said, I have fed back twice tonight, three times. Oh, my God. Three times you include the corrected text I had to send because I got trigger happy. Oh, dear. Good luck, Mary. Good luck. Carry on.
Thank you.
Ian read an Alan T. Butcher yet?
Well, he can only do it if he's got access to me sending the actual text on Facebook Messenger. Have you got access to that?
Yes, yeah. he's on the group. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to put it on the group page.
We are friends on Facebook, I believe.
So. Oh, well,
I think I'm lucky enough.
You've been volunteered. Sorry, Mary. Are you carrying on?
He's the actor in the group, so I'd say.
Well, included in that, I will do it as long as you read out Tim Jury's.
I haven't. Very good. Tim Jury.
We need to remind you.
Did segue into a reminder?
That was brilliantly done, but yeah, the trouble is.
Well done.
Tim went on our feed from last week and found that he couldn't find his comments on there at all, and nor can I. So all he can say really is Tim commented, but we don't know what he said.
Yeah.
But thanks, Tim. Are you done, Mary? Sorry.
I am done.
Okay, right then, Kirby, you did your usual...
Something that might be a little amusing to hear is that while this was showing... people were already asking JNT, you know, is this Bonnie Langford going to be the next companion? Mm. And he was flatly denying it.
That was a bit silly, wasn't it?
He never heard anything about it. But at the same time, the publicity shots of Colin and Melanie were already out there.
Well, that was silly, wasn't it? Right then, go on then, Kirby. You have posted a request for feedback, yes, including carry on, carry on, carry on, carry on, or carry on.
And you'd think one of these days I ought to watch a carry on film.
Well, you don't have to.
The first comment is Ian saying, so can we call him Old One for the episode?
No.
I don't recall doing that. Somebody hacked my account, I think.
No, I didn't really get an opportunity to go, Old One? They're right, though. He is old.
I also did a carry on Duggan. Robert Wentz Jr. says, Doctor, we are far from Kansas, or are we? With a publicity shot from the story. He also says, anyone that wears that coat must be guilty.
Yes.
Well said.
Oh, good. Billy Kirkbright. Billy Kirkbright says, I tried watching it. Hardly a spectacle for me. I fell asleep.
Rather like my TikTok followers at the moment. They tried watching it and fell asleep.
I got through the special on the DVD, and Colin Baker mentioning the story title being a metaphor of what was occurring in reality with the show. Much decision had to be made regarding the program's future. In my opinion, they shouldn't have bothered. While acknowledging some okay stories from Colin Baker onwards, comparing this story to so many other great classics of the show's history, in my opinion, from 1984 onwards, nothing comes close. In my opinion, Doctor Who had truly seen its day by this stage.
Mm-hmm. How many times can you say, in my opinion, in a post? But I have to agree that, in my opinion, that that's quite a lot of sense in that. In my opinion.
I pointed out that you can go visit... But Sir Ancient Farm, and Lori says, now that would be a Burning Man event I'd actually like to attend.
Yes.
And Lori suggests this week's drinking game, take a shot every time the Doctor misnames the Valyard and have a chaser every time he does the same for Humker and Tandril. Who cares about the plot? And so I point out that in this particular story, there's only five shots. Boatyard, graveyard, farmyard, scrapyard, knacker's yard. Lori says, I don't know about you, but five shots and several beer chasers would improve just about anything. Robert Wentz Jr. says, LOL, don't forget the brickyard. I tell him that brickyard isn't set until Mind Warp.
Who just threw the dice?
Me. Snake eyes.
Then I list all of the yard things, including... In Mind Warp, the Inquisitor says backyard, the Doctor says brickyard, and that's it. There are no yard insults in Terror of the Vervoids. and Ultimate Foe only has two, Rail Yard and Stackyard. Then Lori challenges me about where's H and T's, and I tell her I keep forgetting those two have names. I think of them as another version of the twins.
Yeah. Just as non-effective.
Yeah, and she reminds me that the doctor said humbug, handbag, and there's at least two more.
Handrail.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that.
I forgot to mention, though, he did offer the twins, at least they're not twins, but he did offer them some sweets. They did look Jelly Baby-ish, but I don't think they were.
Mm. Yeah, well, when he pulled that bag out, Fred said that that's a Jelly Baby bag.
Yeah, it definitely was that kind of a bag. Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
But you can Jelly Baby. They were little paper, it's a paper bag of sweets. That's how all sweets used to come, whether Jelly Babies or not.
But I think any bag of sweets not named must be Jelly
Babies. Okay, we'll just say it was Jelly Babies. Yeah.
Even when there was one of the Key to Time ones. Oh, it was Pirate Planet. When they're calling,
they were licorice sauce.
Calling Jelly Babies, and they were all sorts.
Yes, okay. Back to the feedback.
Kirby, before you go on, how is it you have that designation author after your name every time?
I don't know. That just started a couple of days ago.
Oh. I think because it has to do with how authors much you... so many new posts in the feed,
and he He inspires so many tea breaks as well.
It's a polite way of saying he doesn't shut up.
Yes.
Well, the weird thing is that there's a group.
Sorry, Kirby.
There's a Facebook group that my wife is in that I'm also in. She's posted only maybe five or six times, and she has the author next to her as well. So it's a new thing.
Is it King Arthur or Arthur with a featuring
Arthur Dent? Dent Arthur Dent.
God.
Robert Wince Jr. also replies to the whole humbug handbag thing. Well, close enough. Jefferson Lee Ng has the season 23 announcement trailer where the doctor is on trial again. Neil James, The Mysterious Planet. Big changes to the program here. Oh, good. He spells program properly with two M's.
God's sake.
Shut up, Kirby.
Really?
Back to the...
Move on, Kirby. Get on with it.
Get on with it! Back to 25-minute episodes. New costumes for Doc and Perry. It's not Doc. No TARDIS scenes. And TARDIS should be all capitals.
Not to apologize to our TikTok viewers for this
new music, really
particularly
bad.
Stretched out to review of the
like
feedback
Dominic
on the show.
Music. I like that. I like it better than last season.
I can't get on with it if I'm being interrupted.
Well, now you know how it feels.
Anyway.
New music, really bad, and the end of location footage shot on film as the BBC switched all their shows to video. Ah, film will always look better. We open with a stunning model shot of the huge space station. It's still really impressive now. The dialogue buzzes along, and there are a good selection of characters and a decent mystery unfolding. Mm. Double act of Glitz and Dibber is a highlight. It's a shame we only get Dibber for this story.
I find Balazar
hilarious and love his scenes with the Doc. At this early stage, the trial scenes are fresh and interesting. They do start to become tiresome as the season goes on. Yes. Amen.
As this happens, as the story goes on.
Just drop my mouse. Got it.
The location works fine, and I like the robot designs. Yes, it's a bit silly, but I've always enjoyed it. In fact, I'd probably say it's my favorite Sixth Doctor story. 3 stars out of 5.
Favorite story, but only 3 out of 5, huh?
Yeah. Robert Wince Jr., review of the Tile of the Triumph Lord. So the Doctor and Perry end up in Ravelox in a past story because the Doctor is on trial. We get introduced to new characters. One is carried over to Dragonfire in the McCoy's era. Spoiler, the trial kind of breaks the flow of a weighted down average story. Perry is still complaining, and the Doctor seems to allow her to get into trouble to satisfy his curiosity. This story reminded me of the second Planet of the Ape movie about the underground people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When Perry and the Doctor find the Marble Arch Tube Station, we find out the Time Lords are hiding secrets, and Ravelox is Earth. The Time Lords must have power to move an entire planet. Too much wandering and running down corridors. Sing your song, Mary.
That's Doctor Who for you.
I believe this is the last story for Robert Holmes, and he was supposed to do the last story but passed away.
He did part of it.
The robot with the wires reminded me of the two-parter in the Tom Baker era, the Santarin experiment. Yay!
Yeah.
I think that the old one.
I said that, and you didn't go, yeah. Yay.
Yeah, maybe they repurposed it.
Excuse me. I made a reference to that. Not one yay when I mentioned it.
I was referencing your mentioning it. That's what the yay was for.
Oh, right. Okay.
I didn't get in quickly enough to say maybe they repurposed it. Because you talked fast, too.
Yeah.
Okay, if you say so.
Was not too crazy about this whole trial arc after an 18-month hold. Yeah. Thanks, Michael Grade, said, I guess it's an angry face. Rating is a 3 out of 5.
A lot of them say 3 out of 5. Do not read the next bit, otherwise you're fired.
Okay, that's right. All I see.
That's all we also... Oh, good, right. Alexa, front room light on.
Okay.
That's better. I can see things now. That's better. Oh, that's good. Okay, right, so that's good. I'm just going to...
Old one?
Can I just...
My Alexa just said she couldn't find a device.
No, you say that every blimmin' week. on Twitter, Deriletes8 says, Hola. Hello. Hello. I'm saying in the English vernacular. Hello. Okay, right. Where are we up to? So we've done that bit of the feedback, and I've got something come through on the old-fashioned email facility at 20mb.feedback@gmail.com via somebody called Terry Miles. It says, Hi, everybody. At last, Colin has become the Doctor. Oh, my. Is that Perry? Core, yes, please. The It's Man from Monty Python was really called Broken Tooth. Another It's Man from Monty Python appearing in Doctor Who. Odd the Earth has yet again moved, but still humans survive. Excellent to see Glitz and Dibber. They are another double act with great lines. The Doctor Who book that I am reading at the moment, Missing Adventures, Mission Impractical, also has the pair. But Frobisher and the Doctor's... as Frobisher is the Doctor's companion. The Mysterious Planet story is a very good story with some brilliant guest stars. Should Glitz be saying 5 rounds rapid? We did forget to mention that. In fact, I did put that down as one of my quotes, possibly. Oh, no. Are they the twins from Twin
Wasn't
Dilemma?
Was that Mary's quote?
It was. I was just being facetious, Kirby. I think we should try and train Kirby up on facetiousness. Or how you actually do it properly. I know it's 18 months since the last episode, but where have the cats on the inside of the Doctor's jacket gone to? Whether it's a sort of black cat at the moment, isn't it?
It's
a black cat, yeah.
When the twins are emptying his pockets, the lining of the Doctor's jacket shows no cats. Oh, I might have fallen off of that point. Mine fell off.
He was having someone into the inside.
I've lost mine. And mine's the one that was worn by Colin Baker at a convention in Newcastle. Very disappointed to have lost
maybe
that.
Were there two coats, maybe? Maybe there was another one done for the
definitely was more
second
than one.
Season because he had put on weight.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But they take a cat mask out of his pocket. Love the jelly babies, which looked like cough candy. Linda loved the Valyard, Strapyard, Knacker's Yard, Boatyard, etc. Myself, it annoyed me the more he did it. Love the secrets were held in professional 2-inch video case. I watched the whole lot in one sitting and found the courtroom sequences boring, but then Linda pointed out I can't stand courtroom dramas. All in all, a great start to the Trial of a Time Lord. Looking forward to the next part with, oh no, Syl. I do hope he reins in his laughter this time. Stay safe, everyone. Terry and Linda Miles. I have to say, Linda Bellingham played the Inquisitor, and she was a very beautiful lady. Renowned at the time for doing gravy adverts.
See, I didn't know really about her. I mean, she might have been in something that my mum and dad had watched at the time, back when I originally saw this, but... My first exposure was just in this, and I just thought, even in that get-up, it's like, with the hair pulled back, I'm like, wow, she's stunning.
Very pretty, isn't she? I seem to remember when I was a child, there was a picture of her in some magazine topless, which maybe I always remember because being that she was a TV personality, I was quite surprised to see a picture of her, like a glamour model picture. I might have dreamt it.
Right, mute my microphone, write this down, look for a picture of Linda Bellingham. All right, I'll unmute my
microphone. I might have imagined it.
Brian, back, guys. What?
I'm looking.
Oh, God, it won't be online. Anyway, right. So the next...
You don't know.
It
I might have dreamt it. Right, so we have this.
Oh, it's online.
Hello, 20 Megmap Podcast is in Kirk. Yesterday, Saturday, marked the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. Also, we had a tribute to Dunkirk, with thousands of British people desperate to get home from France.
We need a tribute to Ian Kirk.
The Mysterious Planet by Robert Holmes. I intend to adumbrate two instances from separate epistopic interverses. Valliard going full Alan T. Butcher. The Doctor visits London in the future. Perhaps Katrika's village is in Millwall. Underground passages again. I do not like Total, Trial of a Time Lord. The story keeps being interrupted by the court scenes, and the Doctor casts doubt on whether what we are seeing is what happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice looking robot, and it is nice to see Linda Bellingham getting a proper acting job.
Indeed.
Bit tired today.
Oh, Ian.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Oh, he did it when he was tired. The efforts people put in to appear on this show. Thank you, Ian. I just want to say,
Ian,
Kirby.
Ian?
Uh-oh.
Yes?
Just Google Linda Bellingham topless. It's there.
Kirby, I'd like to forward some advice to you in regards to looking up Linda Bellingham topless on the internet. It might be a good idea to afterwards sort of delete your internet history.
Why?
I'm the only person who uses this computer.
Hayden 3675 says hi. Hi, Hayden 3675. Thank you for watching. We're doing
I know
Doctor
you're
Who
pedantic, Kirby. So I will follow that fact up with you didn't really need to tell me to do that.
You've already done it.
Wow.
What do you mean? Okay, that's going to be printed in the Bissett household and posted on the wall somewhere, mate, no doubt. All right.
At least I didn't post a link.
I posted a link.
Don't post a link.
My baby.
Oh, okay.
It's in the chat.
She was very beautiful, but of course, sadly, Linda Bellingham passed away several years ago. Yes. A very horrible cancer. Right then. Ian, I'm sending some blurb over to you. Part one is arriving with you forthwith.
Nothing like a cold read,
and
right?
Now I can talk to some of my TikTokers.
I don't see
the
YouTube thing.
Harry Jacob,
where is it?
My favourite doctor is the fifth doctor, Peter Davison. Carry on. Sorry, I'm just talking to my TikTokers. I'm going to spin
down. Oh, okay.
So I can see
sorry, I
on the
was
macro.
Wondering where we were going.
Where's this video, Ian?
Oh, I put it in the carrot chat with them. With the man in the black t-shirt above it.
We're podcasting at the moment. I'm going to go over into the corner while my...
He's going to go in the corner while I read this. Arrival at Blackpool's Nightmare Fair. Or, this isn't Blackpool, that's not fair. What's a nightmare? Mind you.
I carry on doing the show for... Carry on, Ian!
Mind you,
he's trying to read and you're talking at him, so you're both getting cancelled out.
It doesn't come out on my microphone, carry on.
Well, it comes out on ours.
Dear 20 megabiters, mysterious planet of course
a closely studied
is of course a closely studied parable about unfettered capitalist abuse of the proletariat. I knew there were going to be big words. Why do you do this to me? Clearly the underground dwellers. Clearly, the underground dwellers are being used to serve the needs of the top 1%, Drathro. As such, they are maintained at a minimal level of subsistence required in ignorance. The spelling error is done wrong. Thus is created a classic Overton window, which perseveres the status quo against the interest of the 99%. Damn, this was harder than I thought it was going to be. That Overton window, yeah, I was like, oh, I could do this. I know I can. In promoting disorder, the doctor helps them to overturn the capitalist yoke by undermining it and breaking its isolation from the outsiders. The trial arc set up here is also putting forward a critique of corrupt bureaucracy against the dissident free thinkers and actors. We shall see whether this develops into a more sophisticated hypothesis. Take a breath. It should be noted that whilst some suggest that this story is not Robert Holmes' best work, they would be right if it still retains many of his best ideas and style. However, maybe there is nothing much here that is both great and new, and they are perhaps by now looking at the tired and dated, especially with the Neo IMC robot lifted straight out of the Incredible Hulk's colony in space. We also learn that Duggan attained a decent middle management position underground. There Marvel Arch later. Why is it that we all do the same gags? I don't know. Marvel Arch later in life and remained a decent chap while trying to do his best in his own under the name of Murdine in very difficult circumstances. Right, we're almost there, folks. Here's the big... my eyes are going a bit weird. I was trying to do it full screen. That's not working. It's putting the words over to one side. Yeah, I'm complaining. I know. Anyway, here we go. All in all, The Mysterious Planet is a reasonably good re-imaging of the Krotons. As has been noted on many... the look of the program has improved in some ways. No doubt by stretching the budget over less episodes, but it's not a steep change, which may have justified the shortness of the season. It also seems less than wise to cast your stories into a format involving a trial when you have effectively just had the show's future put on trial. It does seem wise to re-employ a past master of writing Doctor Who to lead off the season. Glitz and Dibber are a classic Holmesian duo, albeit the casting seems only half perfect. Oh, I don't know. Sorry, that was me saying that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not Mr. Butcher. Just saying. Anyway, Mr. Butcher continues by saying, Murdine is a good character, but lacks the punch of Duggan in the City of Death. By the way,
very good. Very good. Oh, yeah.
The oath was also mine and not belonging to the aforementioned. I shall continue after my...
after your rum.
A punch of Duggan in City of Death. Joan Sims has a difficult task in Katrika, which she was probably never going to rise to. There was a very very obvious missed opportunity in not getting back the twins from the Twin Dilemma to play Rathro's lackeys. That opportunity missed may have saved the show from immediate cancellation. Oh yes, and the theme is definitely disappointing. I'll pause at the moment and say, and so is this review. And I will continue. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as we would obviously love to see more setting up of the trial at the start in order to make it more than... Sorry, tongue-tied. In order to make it a more than mildly interesting frame and to justify these interludes interrupting the four stories this arc. Next up, Doctor Who and Perry's... I'm going to kill him. Harry's
Perigillium.
We'll put it in the chat later and you can read it. Perignations peter out, or possibly one wedding and no funeral required either way. Those are my thoughts. Oh. Alan T. Butcher.
I would say well done, Ian, but...
no, it wasn't.
Oh, but she got through it.
Yes. I overestimate. I've done a lot of cold reads at auditions over the years, because that's how I usually audition, is I wander in and they just give me anything.
Yeah, well, don't fret, Ian, because the second part of the feedback has been sent to Mary, and now you're going to hear how it's supposed to be done.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think Ian hears Debbie and I stumbling through these, and you probably think, oh, I can do that. I can do that better.
Yeah.
All right. So this goes back a story, right? Because this is Revelation of the Daleks.
Yes.
Okay, so this is called Dave's Reconstituted Rossburgers or Ruby's Revenge. Dear 20 Megabiters, Revelation of the Daleks is, of course, a closely studied critique of the animal food industry. By imbuing the Great Healer's Galaxy Saving Food Production Service with the stench of death, the author's point is clear, and the dressing up of the dead and the facade employed throughout, and the fake media provided by the deliberately fake DJ. It is pointing to the degree to which animal welfare is shrouded as much as can be achieved to salve the consciences of those who might otherwise become consumption resistant. Whew, that's some sentence. It should be noted that whilst some suggest this story is way better than other contemporaneous stories, they are, of course, out of their minds. It is perhaps slightly above average in production terms and is a solid story, but it doesn't particularly stand out as the Doctor is somewhat marginalized through large part of the tale. That's true, he was. We also learn that after spending some time working for Mr. and Mrs. Hudson, Knee Bridges, at their guest house after their retirement from service, Ruby Finch struck out on her own as cosmetic mortician. She was apprenticed to one Richard Bucket, who had escaped an unhappy marriage and taken the name Jobel, who was more of a Dick than a Richard. He did in fact survive and took on a new name from his wig color, Mr. Copper, and setting up a foundation after some very good fortune. Also, Runcible the Fatuous was working deep undercover here for the Time Lords, keeping an eye on an art critic who used to work with the Torquay Hotelier. All in all, Revelation of the Daleks is a good story, which gives Davra some room to develop as a villain, and at least sets up a slightly more inventive and interesting scenario for the Daleks. This gives Terry Malloy the well-deserved opportunity to carve out his own interpretation of Davros, which he does very well. Colin Baker does what he can with his all-too-much sidelined role, and few actors were ever so well-equipped to make so much out of little. Despite his tendency to neglect the Doctor, writer Eric Soward has clearly been listening to his new friend Robert Holmes, as the use of character pairings has seldom been more prevalent than in this story. Generally, the acting is exemplary, even taking into account a number of quite stylized characters, which are nevertheless carried off credibly. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as we would obviously love to see more of the Davros and Dalek factions interacting. The story was just getting really interesting. Next up, Doctor Who and the Hiatus of Distress, or Justice Delayed is Justice Denied. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Well, 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 there you go, Mary. Don't feel,
really.
Don't feel inadequate, Ian.
I'm still shaking.
Really? Old one?
Oh, Jesus. Yes.
I posted in the comment thread a picture of the Centauran experiment robot and the Sirius Planet robot.
Right.
They bear no resemblance whatsoever.
Whatever. Right then. Okay, so on TikTok, I've had a few people saying hi. We've had hyphen Ireland. That's from Laura to Cox. And she says, we aren't that far away. What, Ireland and the Isle of Wight? Well, I suppose in Kirby's eyes, that's probably true. Hayden's 36756 also says, hello, human. I think somebody's actually established I'm a human. Thank you very much. I have to say, that's fantastic. Lots of stuff coming through on the Facebook feed. We have... oh, yes, Alan T. Butcher giving me some instructions on it. And Laurie Nick says, come clean, Kirby Bartlestone. You have published something that you don't want us to know about. I don't know if that's to do with Linda Bailey.
I don't know what
there were instructions
about.
For reading that?
Yeah.
You send over instructions for reading
Not how to read it, just what he's going to send.
Stage instructions.
Kirby says, what do you mean? I'm sure she'll come up with an answer at some point. Lillian Robin says, I like the cat pin from last week, a cat from the Disney film with the Aristocats. Terry Miles says, the cats were sewn into the lining, one per show. And then Laurie Nick says, internet searching noises, talking about the Linda Bellingham topless pictures, no doubt. Terry Miles posted a blogspot thingy for the Cats and the Doctor's lining. Lillian Robin said...
Yes, I posted that a couple of weeks ago, I think, too.
Oh, Lillian Robin has come up with a very interesting question. Now, the trouble with the TikTok thing is it's flipped a picture. So if I'm trying to communicate them, and I can't do it via... talking until now, so I've been writing messages on the back of an envelope, but because it's back to front, I've had to write the messages back to front. So for you, Lillian, one says, "This is a live Doctor Who podcast." The other one said, "Hi from the Isle of Wight," because obviously people are watching and saying where they're watching from. I've got a message coming through, but I can't actually do anything about it because I'm busy podcasting at the moment. Oh, some other stuff. Oh, somebody said, "Who's your favourite Doctor Who?" That's why I went over into the corner. This was... who said it was my favourite Doctor Who? Oh, it was Jacob 9492 said, "Who's your favourite Doctor Who?" I went over into the corner and said, "Peter Davison, the Fifth Doctor." And Alan Brophy says, "Hi from Ireland." Lots of Irish watchers on TikTok to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Thank you, everybody, for taking part, even though you don't know what you're taking part in. It's fantastic. Lillian Romer said, "What is..." I've asked them that question. Anyway, and then she says, "Wow, another show within the show meant this comment for Linda Bellingham nudies tangent, but had to go AFK for a while. Still going to post this because the above comments always applies." Huh? Right, that was quite exhausting, to be fair. I think have we come to the end of feedback? I don't want to. Somebody. Oh no, we had Robert sent something through on the group feed. Did he not?
Yes.
Then who would like to impart the Robert Haynes feedback? Everybody's gone very quiet.
And did Debbie send in feedback?
She did. Right, I'll go on. Mary seemed to be able to keep your tongue in order.
So who's doing Robert?
Well, Mary can do Robert's and you can do Debbie's. That sounds a bit rude, but it isn't. It's just feedback for the show.
Okay, this is Robert. Be silent, fat one.
Pardon?
I adore the model shot of the Time Lord space station. One of my favorite model shots. A shame we didn't have more shots, different angles and so on. Time round, I'm not too bothered by the trial scenes. I think they're done well. Colin putting his lawyering skills to good use.
Yeah.
I noticed the L1 robot has the doctor in two different... Oh, I see. There shouldn't be a period there. I noticed the L1 robot has the doctor in two different positions when it's carrying him with the cables. He's upright when he's captured and prone when we see him in the forest. Nice to see Duggan is still alive after all these years, though I don't like his choice of clothes, and he's changed his name. Yes. I like the scent of the mystery, i.e. the secrets, and why the Earth is not where it should be. It seems that Drathro has found some missing episodes of the show. Love Glitz and Dibber, though they seem to be carrying around leaf blowers for some reason. I like the blossoming of the Doctor's and Perry's relationship, too. Much more agreeable than the bickering husband and wife team previously. An enjoyable romp. So that's Robert.
Okay. Do you want me to do Debbie's feedback, Kirby, or you're
sure.
Happy to do that? You want me to do it? Okay, I'm going to quickly hiccup. Right then. Okay, Debbie says, "Brilliant fun. Perry and the Doctor seem more settled together, and the court scenes especially are fantastic." I have to disagree with that particular statement, but there you go. Love a cross Doctor, and Colin does it so well. Oh, there should be a comma there, Debbie. Oh, no, there shouldn't. The cast are brilliant, and seeing this again has just made me enjoy it all the more. So positivity there from Debbie Melrose for The Mysterious Planet. Sorry, I'm just doing coded messages, my TikTokers. Right, is there anything else coming through there? No, there isn't. Right, we'll carry on with the show.
Ian, I still don't see the link to your YouTube video.
It's gone very quiet here on the show, so I'm going to carry on. Right.
Ian?
Yeah.
He's looking.
I put it in earlier.
Wait, where did you put it? Oh, there it is. It just showed up.
I put it in earlier.
Ian, don't worry. He harasses me as well.
But it did just now pop up. Yeah.
That's what she said. First one of the show.
Well done, Ian.
Right. Oh, God. Doctor. I'm trying to type in Doctor Who News.
Subscribe there. I'm subscribed.
Who News?
Oh, okay. You don't need to subscribe. That's about the. So like that, and there's one where he sees a Dalek for the first time.
So I'm presuming somebody's making up a page of Linda Bellingham's Norks as we speak, which is very disrespectful. Doctor Who News.
Doctor Who News?
Oh, okay, I'm typing it in wrong.
News after talking about Linda Bellingham.
Yeah. Right, here we go. Doctor Who News.net. It says this site can't be reached, so I must be typing it in wrong.
Yeah, I tried to pull it up too, and I'm getting...
That's what she said! Hey,
I don't
have
the permission to access this document.
What, Doctor Who News?
Yeah,
I don't think issues about. With their site. I've got it up.
That's what she said. Yes.
Glad to be of service.
Oh no, this is they've got dear. A problem. 403 forbidden.
I can't get it to work.
That's what I got too.
All right, let's wing it, shall we, for Doctor Who News? Christopher Eccleston, which was very frustrating, because this actually came about just after we finished recording last week, or in the middle of the show, or whatever, because Matthew Kressel couldn't be bothered to mention it while we're recording, but Christopher Eccleston.
I noticed that he's watching, too.
Is he? Christopher Eccleston. He's watching. Christopher Eccleston is watching the show. Hey, Chris!
No.
Wow! Anyway,
he's watching the feed, when I popped onto the feed for a second.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. Well, anyway, he's going to be in Doctor Who on Big Finish.
So,
I'm really looking forward to hearing what comes up with that lot and who his companion's going to be. I presume it's going to be Billy Piper, but they could, of course, have it pre-Billy, couldn't they? Pre-Rose?
Although
they did imply it only just regenerated when Rose was on.
Well, and he's the first one we hear about the Time War from, so I'm hoping that they do some, you know, like Time War or just recently post-Time War
They could do a regeneration story. They could actually tag on the bit where the war doctor says they pull the ears in a bit or something like that, and then they could actually then bring Eccleston in after that and do a missing story that way.
All kinds of possibilities.
Absolutely.
Maybe they could even bring John Barrowman in too, because he was one of the companions.
Yeah, and if they could make Eccleston enjoy it, then they might be able to get him back for a multiple Doctor story for Doctor Who's 60th anniversary coming up in only 3 years' time.
Chris, I'm going to be a bit of a cynic here. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
We're all excited, and he was quoted as saying, you know, that he really enjoyed his particular Doctor and that he was looking forward to doing it. But I just wonder, you know, with everything shut down because of COVID-19, there's no filming, there's nothing going on, TV or movies going on. So I just wonder if maybe he's got some debts to pay. And this is, you know, this is possible work here.
Quite possibly. Yeah.
But I mean, he has said that
there, but you know, maybe his interest is not so much, oh, I want to do my doctor, as much as I need to pay some bills.
I do think what happened, and in his defense, is that he decided to go to Gallifrey, the convention.
Oh,
and
the convention, yeah.
He had a really, really good time, and
he's
spoken very, very highly of the experience, and I think that's kind of opened his eyes to the fact that there are, despite looking around on Facebook lately, some really positive aspects to fandom, and even from a performing standpoint, to be around people who care about that particular character, that even for the short time that he did it, it must have been quite heartwarming. I mean, that's something that you can't pay for. So I think he's like, well, yeah, I could do this, and. Yeah. You know, with audio, you can tell a broader story. And so, you know, people are like now leaping to going, well, maybe he'll come back, but hey, let's just give him some space and let him enjoy himself. That's the whole thing is he'll do it if he enjoys it.
Yeah.
If we keep badgering him about it, he's not going to enjoy that.
No.
Right.
So,
well, that's the main bit of news.
Will Eccles come on and say, blue bottle?
Shut up, Kirby.
Thank you, Adam.
Sorry, I'm the only American who likes the Goon Show.
Oh,
remember?
Shut up!
Yeah,
bloody hell!
I'm a New Zealander who likes the Goon
Show. The 462nd time he said that. No, he's not, because he wasn't the first few shows, was he?
Well,
the 400th time.
I've heard it numerous times, and I'm new here, so.
Yes.
Yes, I'm trying to. I've found another site called Doctor Who News TV. Doctor Who .tv / news. There's not really much here, to be fair.
I've got a little bit of news.
Have you?
Kind of tie into what we just did. Is a big on Big Finish that remember they've got weekly deals. This one for anybody who's listening right now, because the deal expires at midnight in the UK. But the Nightmare Fair. Of course.
I've got that.
Big Finish.
You already have it, Kirby. You already have it.
Yeah, I've got it too.
Have it? Okay.
Yeah,
you're in that group.
I've listened to it too. It's not too bad.
So yeah, and they've got the Nightmare Fair for $5, and then for I think for all the rest of the Lost Stories, there's $6.
Mm.
So it's a great deal. I mean, that's half price. Really?
It's very frustrating, Ian, that the Nightmare Fair, if they had actually bothered putting it out, was going to bring back the actor who did play the Celestial Toymaker in 1965, or when it was.
Right.
But obviously that opportunity never arose after that. So it was a big loss for me, big loss for Doctor Who not having that happen.
Yeah.
Well, and a little bit of news, not really new news, but for people who enjoy Trial of the Time Lord, there is a Big Finish story that came out in 2013, which was around the 50th anniversary, so it kind of got lost in all of that. But it's called The Trial of the Valyard, and it does have Colin Baker and Michael Jaston and Bellingham in it. Yeah. It's a great little psychodrama where a lot of things are revealed, you know, as to what their motivations were and all that. It's an excellent story.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Mary.
And also, this is newer. Anyone who loves the Doctor and Perry together, just released, I haven't even had a chance to listen to them yet, is a box set of 4 stories featuring just Colin Baker and... Perry, if I can remember her name,
Nicola Bryant.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And one of them is written by Nev Fountain, which, you know, as we know, is her partner. So
yes.
and he writes really well. So I'm looking forward to listening to that box set.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Stuff coming through on the Facebook feed. Lauren, it says shows within shows, and then Joshua Dybul says, "Hello from Chroma. Best wishes to you all. Sorry I haven't contributed for an eternity, but still always tuning into your shows. Thank you, Joshua." And then he says, "Trial of Time Lord never did much for me, sadly. Not my favourite era. Couldn't take Linda Bellingham seriously. She'll always be the Oxo mum to me. So it didn't work well." Roy Bench Jr. said, "Who cares, Kirby? They are robots and they shoot wires." Laurie Nick says, "He was pretty gracious and seemed genuine at Galley One, although he was also promoting his book." That's obviously Christopher Eccleston. Laurie Nick also says, "Eccleston seemed pretty genuine and happy to be at Galley One, but he was promoting his book and he is an actor." So, and then Kirby Bartlett Sloan says, "YouTube link to Linda Bellingham's Oxo Mum ads." Great. Thanks for that, Kirby. And then Laurie says, "You are listed as an author now." And then Robert Bench Jr. said, "Thanks, great. I will listen to the rest later. Bye."
Bye.
There we go. I've just been holding up the sign for the TikTokers, and it says "Live Doctor Who Podcast." Now I'm turning it around to say, "Hi from the Isle of Wight," written backwards. Incredible. I was able to do a podcast, do a TikTok, write backwards signs. I tell you what, I really have missed a vocation somewhere in my life. I don't know why I ended up sat here doing this. I really don't.
I find that interesting, though, in the review I don't know who it was now that you're reading out that couldn't take her seriously because she'd been in those commercials,
I mean, she's an actress.
I never saw those commercials. I thought she was fantastic and strict, and so it's just a matter of, like, typecasting is not the fault of the actor, it's the fault of the people watching.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've never seen the Oxo commercial either.
I put a link to them now in the as an extra on the DVD. There's some show called Wogan.
Yeah.
That she's appears on at the same time. It's to promote Mysterious Planet.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look the same at all as she did.
She wasn't topless, was she, Kirby?
But of course, she's not in the extreme makeup that she was in as the Inquisitor.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Kirby. Right, I'm going to gloss over the sponsorship because where are we now? I think Deb wants to get off.
You
to
mean
sleep.
whoone.co.uk?
Yeah, them and lavazi.co.uk and iwheroes.co.uk. Just to make sure I've got that one right because it's a new one. IW Heroes. I still haven't collected my Iron Spider Funko Pop yet from there. So I tend to do that during the week because I'm off work for 18 days, although it's now 15 days, sadly. Heroes is iwheroes.co.uk, IW meaning Isle of Wight, which is where we are here on the
That's not where I am.
I'll be quite well. Hopefully where Mary will be in December, eh, Mary?
Well, yeah, if air travel is ever allowed.
Yes. Ator is no
Kut.
Oh, excuse me, I'm talking to my TikTokers. Ator is no Kut 10 says hello. So hello, Ator. Thanks for people who have been popping in on TikTok. Nice to see you. And thanks to everybody who's been watching on the show. Sorry, you wasn't going to say something, Ian? I do apologise.
Oh, no. You said nice to see you. I said to see you.
Nice. where are we now? That's a British television reference, Kirby.
Yes.
Bruce Forsyth, no longer with us. Next time we'll be reviewing a story called Mind Warp, I believe. I think it's called Mind Warp.
Yes.
Can we get Nabil on again?
Beg your pardon?
Can we get Nabil on again?
The Bill? Oh, Nabil. I'm sorry, the Bill.
The Bill. No, the Bill? It's Doctor Who.
Manuel from 40 Towers. No, we won't be getting Nabil on, I don't think, anyway.
Because he is really interesting.
I know. I've had him on the show before. For goodness sake, man. Right, next week. Oh, God, where was he? Oh, yeah. Mind Warp next week. But I was more thinking, when you said about Nabil being on it, yes, fine. Yeah, but I was more thinking of Brian Blessed is going to be on the show. Not our
Brian
show.
Blessed on?
Not our show, but on this particular story that we're going to be reviewing next week.
Get Brian on, though. Get Brian on. That'd be good, he shows up for everything, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was supposed to be at Wales Comic Con, which another thing I'm spot to mention on the news. They've moved Wales Comic Con to April. No Doctor Who guests, apart from Miriam Margolyes. No, she was
in Wales, or is it moved again?
No, it's still Telford. I've just realised I haven't actually taken a breath doing this show. Anyway, right, so I'm going to end the show now. So next week, Mind Warp, Trial of the Time Lord, episodes 5 to 8. And same time, same place.
Feedback? On
what?
Facebook?
What?
More feedback?
Yeah, of course.
Multitasking, Adam.
Sorry, Ian. This is what I have to put up with. Do you realise now what I have to put up with on the show? I'm starting to get sweaty eyelids.
10 years.
Shut up, Kirby. I used to have hair when we started this podcast. So anyway, next week, we hope we have a few of the people that can't appear, haven't been able to appear recently.
People keep saying, oh, I'm going to show up, and then they don't.
Laurie Nick says, Mind Warp. I remember doing that. And you know what happened? I finished the show, and then Ian Durier proposed something. So, Ian, if you're listening and you have posted something, I do apologise. It doesn't appear to be here. Nope, nothing here from Ian. So, until Tim. Next time, thank you, listen
Tim.
For. Pardon?
Tim.
Did I say, oh my yeah, God, Ian yeah, Jury's a.
Yeah, you said Ian.
I'm such a blockhead.
Yeah.
I'm such a block. Why do I bother?
I caught it.
Because it's fun.
Anyway, so Tim Drury. Oh, he's going to rip into me for that one on the next post. Tim, sorry. Yes. He's going. I think he says he listens to this show on Sundays. I might have to edit that bit out. yeah, apparently he posts something. Maybe he posted it on the link that I posted for the actual show, the podcast. Lauren Nick thought that was really funny. I didn't. I find it was quite embarrassing, actually. Fortunately, I have a beard, so I'm able to cover up my blushes. Anyway, and I've got wind as well, so I need to end the show. Thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Do please come back next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
Scarecrow.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.